إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our sixth session from the essay of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a, which is known today commonly as al-wasiyyah al-sughra, yani the concise legacy or advice for uprightness in the religious and worldly life. The topic that we want to discuss tonight is partially, at least in the beginning, a continuation of what we started with last week concerning those things, yani in this world, which one should give attention to in trying to remove the consequences of sins. We began with that topic last week and we didn't finish the last point of it, so inshallah that's what we'll start with tonight. The third of those things that we mentioned last week, starting yani, with what we started with. And after that, inshallah, we'll look at the next paragraph from the essay, dealing with giving care, the importance of giving care to this particular matter. That is the matter of any attending to the removal of the consequences of one's shortcomings. Before we do that, we want to look at the questions from last week, yani some of the topics that we covered last week, just quickly, from the questionnaire study guide from lecture number 5. The first question, is it a necessity? Is it a necessity that the good deeds which follow evil deeds be of the same type or nature? Explain. Now, Abu Sa'id. It's not a necessity. Tayyib. Anybody want to add? Naam, Musa.
But it's better for you to be of the same kind.
But it's better. It's better that it be of the same kind, of the same nature. It's better. Naam.
The Sheikh gave an example. He said if one is disobedient to his parents, then you should follow that.
Naam. And the Sheikh gave some examples of this, yani that we'll come to in the next question, inshallah. But naam, it's not obligatory, but it is better. It is yani more effective in removing the consequences of sins that the good deeds which follow them be of the same type or the same nature. Question number 2, give an example from the Shaykh's explanation of what is meant by good and evil deeds being of the same type or nature. Naam, you want to give us the example that you were about to mention? Or somebody else? Naam, example? Follow. Naam. And if the sin, the error of the person was that they were disobedient to their parents, then the good deed that follows it of the same type is in reference to parents, that you are dutiful to parents and obedient to parents, that you're kind and generous and charitable with them. Naam. Uh-huh.
He also mentioned about backbiting and namima.
Naam. Backbiting and namima. Naam.
He said that if you do this, you should go and try to find the person that you've backbiting or tell him, speak good of him and praise him to his face.
Naam. If you were backbiting someone, then the good deed that's of the same type is to go back to that person, but instead of saying bad things about them, say good things about them. Praise them and say whatever good that you know about them. Naam. Any other example? Naam. If a person, for example, was يعني committed namima. They were carrying things from one person to another in order to cause يعني separation between them, cause ill feeling between them. Then they should go back and try to correct that, rectify the problem that they initially يعني caused between them, and so on. And there are a lot of examples that can be given, but the point is that يعني this is not a necessity, rather it is preferable, it is better, it is closer and greater than that the good deeds are general, though if the good deeds of any type follow it, then they also expiate. Question number 3, summarize the meaning of the hadith referred to by Shaykh Abdul Razak Hafidhullah as hadith al-muflis, يعني the bankrupt one. Summarize the meaning of this hadith, Ya Ibrahim.
Narrated by Abu Huraira.
Now, the Prophet asked the companions, do you know who is the muflis? يعني ما المفلس? What is intended? What is meant by this? Now, their understanding of the muflis is what? The one who doesn't have wealth, who doesn't have goods, who doesn't have property. And the person who is muflis, meaning they are bankrupt in terms of material wealth in the world. That's what they understood by it. Now,
he came Yom Qiyamah with Salah, with charity, and with Siyam, with fasting. وَيَأْتِي وَقَضَ شَتَمَ هَذَا, and he verbally abused this one. وَقَضَفَ هَذَا, and he spread
slander.
Slander this one. وَأَكَلَ دَمَ,
false accusation.
وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا, and he took this one's wealth unrightfully. وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا, and he spilled this one's blood. وَيُقْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ,
وَضَرَبَ هَذَا,
وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and he hit this one. وَيُقْطَى هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, and this will be taken from his حَسَنَاتِ. وَهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ, and this will be taken from his حَسَنَاتِ. Until he does not have any more حَسَنَاتِ, or if it be taken from, he will take from their sins, خَطَايَاهُ, and it will be thrown on him, and then he will be thrown into the fire.
نعم, الله المستعان. يعني, the summary, as the brother has given us the hadith, mashallah, in Arabic and English, is that يعني, the Prophet ﷺ explained that what he meant by al-muflis, the one who is really muflis, is the one who يعني, from his ummah, who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah with having performed good deeds of salat and zakat and siyam. However, along with that, they would have what? They would have verbally abused this one and يعني, slandered or falsely accused this one, and illegally consumed the wealth of another person, and they have spilled the blood of someone and beat someone. They would have, yani, along with their good deeds, they have violated and transgressed against the people in all of these types of affairs. And as a result of that, yani, from their good deeds will be taken, yani, their hasanat, and given to those that they violated, that they abused, that they wronged. It will be given to them. And if their good deeds, yani, cease to exist, yani, they run out, there's no more left, and they still, yani, the judgment against them hasn't been, yani, executed, fulfilled completely, then the sins of the people that they wronged will be taken from them and thrown on him, and then he will be thrown in the hellfire. And this hadith, yani, does require some reflection, but please go back and review it. Question number 4, memorize the ayah mentioned by the Shaykh which proves that Allah's forgiveness encompasses all sins in Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 53rd Ayat. Naam. Nazirudin. Asrafu.
Asrafu. Ala anfusihim. Ala anfusihim. La taqanatu.
Rahim. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Who else memorized the ayah? Yani, MashaAllah. Good. What's your name, Akhi? What's your name?
Umar.
Umar. Barakallah fikum. Tayyib. This is also a very important ayah. The meaning of it is what? Somebody? Naam.
Oh, my slaves who have transgressed.
Yani, Allah ordered the Prophet ﷺ to say, yani, to speak to his servants, the people,
oh O my servants who have transgressed the boundaries upon themselves, they have fallen to sin, made much sin.
Naam.
لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair upon the hope, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Truly He is Ghafur Rahim. He is the all forgiving, the most merciful.
And Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to let His servants, the ibadi, yani my servants, my worshippers, let them know. Yani those who what? Those who are, who have engaged, who have transgressed all bounds and sins, in committing murder and zina and fornication and riba and all kinds of yani sins. To tell them what? That in spite of that, don't give up hope of the rahmah of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives al-dhunub jamian. All sins are forgivable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah is forgiving, merciful. This is also a tremendous ayah from the ayats of the Qur'an. And the whole Qur'an is a speech of Allah. But there are some ayats, no doubt, that are, yani, we are in need of, reflect upon, showing the magnificence and the magnitude of Allah's, subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and His forgiveness, His pardoning. And this is from amongst them. Question number 5. Explain what is meant by the expression, al-mumahhisat. And mention 3 of the mumahhisat in this world, in the dunya. What is meant by al-mumahhisat? Naam, Ahmed. Purifies. They purify the person from their sins. Yani remove the consequence, the evil effects of their sins. Naam. Naam. Yani, and from amongst them, yani is a tawbah. Naam. Anybody else? Naam.
And the second is to make istighfar, but without tawbah.
Make istighfar without tawbah? Naam. And righteous deeds, which also expiate sins. And there are others. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah mentioned, yani Majmu'a Fatawa, and in other places in some of his writings, he mentioned 10. 10 things that remove the consequences of sin. Some of them are in this world, some of them are in the barzakh, and some of them are in the next life, yani yawm al-qiyamah. Some of them are from the acts of the human being himself. 3 of them. And some of them are from the acts of others. 3 of them. And some of them are, yani, the trials and afflictions and calamities that a person suffers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, in the grave and in the next life. And the last of them is? The 10th of them is the rahmah of Allah. The rahmah of Allah. And 3 of them are from the people themselves, and 3 of them are from other people. And 3 of them are yani trials and afflictions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the last of them is the rahmah of Allah. And I don't think we discussed this on this occasion, but yani before, another time, some long time ago. Question number 6. List the 3 shurut, conditions for tawbah mentioned by Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhullah, in his explanation. And the Shaykh mentioned 3 conditions, and there are other conditions we said, but he mentioned 3 of them. Abu Jamil.
He said that the slaves should have regret or remorse.
Regret or remorse.
Then they have to separate themselves from.
Separate. Stop doing what they are doing. Stop sinning with that particular sin. Naam.
And make firm resolve to never.
Firm resolve not to go back to it again. These are critical, critical, essential elements of tawbah. There's no tawbah without this. And then there are other conditions that some scholars mentioned, yani, that's related to any different things. Naam. Naam. Then he should repent again. If they have repented sincerely, Allah accepts it, even if a person goes back. But they have to what? Have firm resolve that they're not going to go back. But if a person falls back again, we are human beings. Then repent sincerely, and Allah accepts sincere repentance. Naam. Yani frequent. Yani the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us and commanded us and gave us the example of seeking the forgiveness of Allah and turning to Him repentance frequently. Frequently. Naam, question number 7. List the 3 kaba'ir, major sins mentioned in the Qur'an as being forgivable by sincere tawbah, yani in the ayats in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 68, 69, and 70. And these ayats are worthy of yani memorization, but we just want to mention them. What are the 3 major sins that are mentioned in those ayats in Surah Al-Furqan? Salih. Yani, those who do not call upon, supplicate other than Allah, along with Allah, anything. Now. And they don't kill someone that Allah has forbidden. That's not permissible by the Sharia of Allah. Now. And they don't commit any illegal sexual act. And these are major sins that are very, very, very serious and severe. And in spite of that, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that with the severity of the punishment for the people who engage in such sins, He said what? Except illa man taba wa amana wa amila amalan saliha fa'ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyatihim hasanat wa kana Allahu ghafurur rahima. And either in spite of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yani accept the repentance of the one who repents and believes and does good, righteous deeds. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we mentioned briefly in passing last week, that He will replace the evil deeds with good deeds. And the two yani tafsirs of this ayat that are mentioned by the scholars of Sunnah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their acts in this world. They would yani repent and they will stop committing those sins and they will commit acts of obedience in place of them. And the other tafsir, as Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentioned, the Shaykh and Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions also, yani, and it's confirmed by authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the meaning is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace the evil deeds in their record with good deeds at the time of their accounting. Naam. Question number 8, memorize and complete the hadith. Tuba for the one who finds in his sahifa to the end of the hadith reported by Ibn Majah. Somebody who didn't answer. Tayyib. Nobody wants to answer this hadith? Yani ya Musa.
Tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi yawm al-qiyama istighfaran kathira.
Tayyib, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this now? Now, on Yom Kiyamah, the person who will find in his record a lot of yani istighfar, yani that it will be in his record, yani it will be confirmed that Allah accepted that istighfar, he will be given credit for it, and this person, for him, is tuba. Now. Glad tidings, good news, a good condition, naam.
Or a tree.
Or a well-known tree in Jannah, naam. Yani the point is that this tawbah means that a person, their condition in the next life will be a good condition. Yani hala, tayyiba, radiya. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with them and they will receive the good news of Jannah. And the last question discussed the significance of the author, Rahimahullah's statement, yani Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah's statement, the second, al-istighfar without repentance. What is the meaning of this, significance of this statement, yani the second thing of those things that remove the consequences of sins is al-istighfar without repentance, without tawbah. Naam. Ahmed. Naam. And meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive a person who asks for forgiveness because of their dua. Because istighfar is dua. If a person says astaghfirullah, that's dua. Rabbi ghfirli, that's dua. Allah might forgive them because of their dua, simply, even if they didn't repent. Meaning they didn't yani fulfill the conditions of tawbah. Allah may still forgive them. Allah may still forgive them. And this is, yani, why is it significant? Because a person might not repent, but they should still ask Allah's forgiveness. Perhaps Allah will forgive them just because they asked for forgiveness, even if they didn't repent. But if they combine the two, constantly asking Allah's forgiveness and also repenting from what they have done, فَهُوَ الْكَمَالِ. This is what is more complete and perfect, the ideal situation. Okay, tonight, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we want to continue where we left off last week. Last week we were yani continuing with yani the advice of the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh, where he mentioned to him yani taqillaha haythu ma kunta wa atbi as-sayyi'ati al-hasana tamhuha This part of the hadith, the Shaykh has been discussing in great detail. Yarhamukallah. And he mentions that from the comprehensiveness of this wasiyah, this advice of the Prophet ﷺ, is that it includes both obligations upon the human being, the obligation to Allah and the obligations to the people. And it also is comprehensive in the sense that the Prophet ﷺ told him, ittaqillah haythu ma kunta. These words, haythu ma kunta, is also comprehensive in that it shows that the human being is in need of observing taqwa in secret as well as in public at all times in every situation or circumstance. And this is also very, very important. And he said, and follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it will remove it, it will wipe it out. And the Shaykh, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, he mentioned here at this point in this essay, he said that the things that remove the consequences of sins are many. And he began to mention from amongst them, the first of them is tawbah, and we talked about that in detail. And the second of them is istighfar, and we talked about that in detail. And the third of them, which we came near the end of the time, we didn't deal with, is what? Al-amal as-saliha, naam, the righteous deeds which expiate for sins. This is where we stopped at, and then inshallah today we will begin there and then go on to the next paragraph where Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah talks about the importance of this matter. The importance of what? Of this matter, the matter of attending to trying to alleviate or to expiate one's shortcomings or excesses or sins or misdeeds. So here, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, الثالث قال الأعمال الصالحة المكفرة. The third after a tawbah and istighfar, he said, الأعمال الصالحة المكفرة. The righteous deeds which expiate, for sins. إما الكفارات المقدرة. And he goes on to say after that, وَإِمَّا الْكَفَّارَاتِ الْمُطْلَقَةِ. He mentions here two types of kafarat, the things that expiate, مُقَدَّرَة, those things which are specific, specified, and مُطْلَقَة, those things which are general, and which expiate for sins. There are two types, he says, those which are specific, that have been specified in the Sharia, and those which are general, they expiate generally, good deeds generally expiate, but there are some specific deeds, or sins that have specific expiation for them, and this is what we want to talk about, first. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah says, the righteous deeds which expiate, either they are those kafarat, things which expiate, which are muqaddara, specified, like that which expiates for the one who has had sexual relations with their spouse in Ramadan. The expiation for this is specified, is specific. Freeing a slave, fasting for 60 consecutive days, or feeding 60 people. Specific. Or al-mudahira. The one who says to his wife that you are to me like the back of my mother. He doesn't divorce her, nor does he have relations with her. And this also is a sin that has, mentioned in the Quran, in 58th surah, 2nd and 3rd ayah, has specific expiation. Like the one who has sex with their wife in Ramadan, freeing a slave, fasting for 60 consecutive days, or feeding 60 people. And he mentions, al-murtakib li-ba'd al-mahdhurat al-hajj, aw tarik ba'd al-wajibat, aw qatil al-sayd bil-kaffarat al-muqaddara. And likewise, from the kaffarat that are muqaddara, that are specified in the Sharia, are the one who fell into some of the prohibited acts during hajj, things that are prohibited during hajj, or a person not allowed to do in hajj, violates some of those rites of hajj, or the person who abandons some of the obligatory duties of hajj, or the one who hunts land game while they're in ihram, in the sacred priest or in the sacred priest precincts, and these are expiated by specific matters. And here Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah says, wa hiya arba' ajnas is the plural of jins, four types of things that expiate, that are specific, muqaddara. The first of them is hadyun, the sacrificial animal, sacrificing animal. The second he mentions itqun, the freeing of a slave. The third of them he mentions sadaqatun, giving charity. And the fourth of them, siyam. These are specific, kaffarat muqaddara, specific things that expiate for sins. Making a sacrifice, and in some things it has specifically been mentioned you have to make a sacrifice to expiate for this, or to free a slave, or to give charity, or to fast. هذه كلها تسمى كفارات. All of these are called كفارات, expiators. ومعنى كفارات, and the meaning of كفارات, أي تكفر الخطأ. يعني it expiates, and it removes the harm or the evil effect of the sin, of the mistake, error that a person has made. يعني the meaning of كفارات, تكفر. It expiates for the خطأ, the mistake or the error. تكفر الذنب or the sin, or the تقصير, the shortcoming, or the خلل, يعني defect that a person has يعني fallen into. And these, وهذه الكفارات حسنات. All of them are حسنات, يعني they are good deeds. All of these things that he mentioned here, يعني the sacrifice or the freeing of a slave or the charity or fasting, all of these are حسنات. These are good deeds, but they are specified for the expiation of certain types of sins. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has made these abwab, يعني the doors of birr, goodness. He has made these means or these ways of goodness to kafir lil'abd ma waqa'a fihi min taqsir, to expiate for the abd, the slave of Allah, the worshipper, to expiate for them the shortcomings that they have fallen into. Person makes a mistake or commits a sin, then he gives charity. For example, he makes a mistake and he frees a slave, for example. So these are abwab ihsan, yani these are the doors or the ways of goodness. And all of these types, yani the making the sacrificial animal, freeing of a slave, charity, sacrificial animal, freeing of a slave, and charity, هذه كلها أبواب إحسان تصل إلى الآخرين. These are doors or ways of goodness that reach other people, that benefit others. Unlike siyam, which only benefits yourself, right? These also, they benefit others. Here the Shaykh said, I mentioned a story to you, an incident that took place that was mentioned by one of the noble brothers. And he mentions a story, and the summary of it is, yani that a man called him and said, Wallahi ma indi shay'un u'ti awlad. I don't have anything to give my children. I don't have any food to feed my children. He ended the telephone conversation, and he didn't even take a few minutes before someone else called him and said, yani, I have made an oath. Halaftu yameen. I swore by yani Allah over something, and that which he should not have done. And he said, and I want yani to expiate for it. But I don't know who to give it to. I don't have anybody to give yani food to, for example, the expiation for the oath that I have made. So the man said to him, give it to me. Yani, there's someone, there are people who are present who we can give it to. So here the Shaykh is saying, what? This one, he has made an oath, he has made a mistake, and he wants to expiate for it. And so these are the ways, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, yani, that a person falls into error in something. The expiation is that which would benefit another person who is in need. Will benefit another person who is in need, to fulfill their needs. And this is also from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person, when he commits an error, a mistake, or a sin, Allah has made expiators, yani things that expiate for their sins. تَصُدُّ حَاجَاتِ الْفُقَرَةِ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْمُحْتَاجِينِ وَمُعَاوِيزِ يعني تصل إليهم. Allah has made يعني the expiation for this person's sin to fulfill, to fill in for, to make up for the needs of those who are poor, those who are needy, those who have needs or whatever, or are desirous of something, and to help them in their situation so that يعني their needs will be taken care of. He said, in one moment, yani it didn't even take minutes, but in one moment, this one calls and says, I am in need, and the other one calls and said, I need to expiate. So, yani in this way, yani the one who wants to expiate for his oath, improper oath, by feeding 10 poor people, that person took it and he gave it to the one who was in need. This is an example, the Shaykh is saying, what? Example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these, yani kafarat, that he takes from one person because of their error or their sin, and it benefits other people who are needy. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. And another example of this, not expiation, but to show how the wisdom of Allah and His Sharia is so important. Many times we have found people who can't fast in Ramadan, yani sad, and they want to fast, even though they're very sick and maybe it will harm them. But Allah has made that person not able to fast, because there are some people who are in need of food, who are needy, so that those people could be fed. This is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that perhaps yani sometimes we don't even see it, but it shows yani when you see it how great is the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made kafarat, expiators, for the mistake or the error or the sin that a human being has fallen into. And it is, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah has described it, kafarat muqaddara. Yani muqaddara, he said it means every khata min hadhi al-aqta lahu kafara muqaddara ja'a taqdiruha fi shar. Yani in other words, every one of these sins, yani from these that we are talking about here, the things that Allah has specified the expiation for it, for every one of them, there's a specified, specific, yani prefixed, predetermined expiation for it. That Allah, that its measurement or its fixed amount and type has come to us in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is freeing of a slave or feeding 60 poor people, yani feeding 10 poor people, feeding 6 poor people, sacrificing an animal, to other than that, these are kafarat muqaddara muhaddada. Yani kafarat, expiators that are fixed, that are specified. Yani their type, their now is specified. And their adad, their number is also specified. Yani Allah specified it has to be a certain animal, or it has to be a certain amount, or whatever. If it's fasting, a certain amount of days, and so on and so forth. Yani that this will be given, yani as kafara. Here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the Shaykh goes on to say, he said, وَأَمَّا كَفَّارَاتْ مُطْلَقَةً. This is the second type. مُقَدَّرَة is the first type, specified expiation. And this one is the general expiation, مُطْلَقَة. Yani it's not specified, it's unrestricted, it's just general. These are things that in general expiate for a person's sins in general. كَمَا قَالَ حُذَيْفَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لِعُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فِتْنَةَ الرَّجُلُ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَمَالِهِ وَوَلَدِهِ. And some of the narrations said جَارِهِ, and some said وَلَدِهِ, and both of them. And there are other narrations that are similar. And this came in, yani the hadith came in Bukhari and Muslim. يعني فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله وولده. This is how the Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah narrates it. يعني the fitna of a man that's caused by his family, or by his wealth, or by his children, or by his neighbor. يكفرها الصلاة والصيام والصدقة والأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر والحديث في الصحيحين. Yani meaning that a person might fall into some trial, some tribulation, some fitness, some difficulty, a hardship that caused him to what? Violate someone's rights or fall short in fulfilling a duty of Allah or something due to his family. Yani his family caused him to fall into fitna, or his children, or his wealth. Yani it's clear in his wealth, right, that he might not want to give it, or he might not want to give the amount that he's supposed to give. Or in his children that he loves, and cause him to not go out to jihad, or cause him to yani give preference to them over others who have rights over him, or whatever, like this. Okay, these, your neighbor, maybe you don't agree with your neighbor, you have bad relations with them, and you violate their rights. And neighbors have rights, right? So all of these are causes, and there are many others. These are examples of causes why a person falls into fitna. And here in the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said that these fitnas that a person falls into, yani the sin, the transgression that they fell into, for these various, with different people in different situations and circumstances, the expiation of it is, yani, that a person, yani, performs salat in general, or siyam, or give charity, or enjoin the good or forbid the wrong. These are examples. Yani, these are examples of good deeds in speech, or good deeds in actions, or good deeds related to our wealth. Al-aqwal, or amwal, yani, a'mal. Yani salat and siyam are actions, right, that expiate for sins, and sadaqah is in reference to our wealth, and amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding wrong, is in reference to our speech. All of these are various different types of good deeds that generally expiate for sins in general. So he says, إذن هذه الحسنات التي يقوم بها العبد صلاة وصيام وصدقة والعمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر and وأنوار البير الأخرى هذه كلها كفارات تمه السيئات. يعني so these حسنات, these good deeds which a abd performs, like salat or fasting or charity or enjoying the good and forbidding the wrong, وأنوار البير الأخرى, and all other types of bir of righteousness and goodness, all of them are expiators that remove تمه السيئات, remove the consequences, the harmful consequences, the uqubat, the punishment that comes along with those sins. It removes them. For example, as we mentioned, yani just Pat, we mentioned recently, yani he mentioned the ayah in the Quran previously, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Yani that indeed hasanat, good deeds, remove evil deeds. Or in the hadith, أَتْبِئِ السَّيَّةِ الْحَسَنَةِ تَمْهُوَى. Follow up an evil deed with a good deed, it will remove it. And this is general. يعني this is what? كَفَّارَات مُطْلَقَة. General good deeds that remove sins in general. So the abd, here the shaykh says what? إِذَنْ الْعَبْدُ يَحْتَاج إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى الصِّيَامِ إِلَى الصَّدَقَةِ إِلَى الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيِ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ إِلَى الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَنْوَارُ الْبِرِّ. يعني the abd is in need. Huh? We are in need. This is not just I want to do some good deeds to help other people. No, you yourself are in need. We are in need. I am in need. We are in need. And you have to understand that you are in need. And if you need something, if you don't have any food and you need some food, you feel that, right? You need some money to pay your rent, you feel that. You need something, you need some help, you need somebody to speak up for you, you feel that. You're actually in need. And these good deeds, you're doing them because you are in need. Even if they benefit other people or if they don't. You're doing it, why? Because you are in need. And this is what we have to understand, that we are in need. And when you understand that, that is the motivation that moves the person who has iman to do good deeds. To do good deeds frequently, plentifully, all the time, day and night, constantly. And that's what we mentioned last week. The Shaykh said, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, Al-Kayyis. Al-Kayyis, the wise, prudent, intelligent person is the one who what? Ya'ati, yani mustamirran. Constantly, la yazalu ya'ati bil hasanat. The hasanat that removes sins. All the time, constantly engaged in doing good deeds. Because that person, the wise person, realizes that they are in need. He said what? Yani prayer, fasting, charity, enjoying the good of the wrong, and da'wah, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are different types of birr, righteousness. And we should not forget, yani fi hadha al-janib, al-da'wah wa ta'lim al-khayr. Wa ta'lim, the word is missing here, ta'lim al-khayr. And we should not forget or overlook, what? In reference to this, yani the things, the general good deeds that expiate for sins, we should not forget a da'wah. That this is an important good deed that people need to remember, that is obligatory upon us. The people are in need, the people are lost, the people are in darkness. We're living in this land of kufr, and maybe we're not even calling people to Islam. And some people are engaged actively in calling to whatever they are upon. And we, who claim that we are upon the sunnah, we are not engaged actively in calling the people to the sunnah. Wallah, if you look at the other people who are calling to deviation, corruption, all kinds of falsehood, they are actively engaged in a big way, while we are pretty much non-engaged. Allahu musta'an. Let us not forget the importance of da'wah. This is from the things, and ta'lim al-khayr, teaching the khayr. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ الدَّالُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. The one who points to the khayr is like the one who has done it. In this hadith, Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih, reported on the authority of Abu Mas'ud and others in Tirmidhi, Ahmed, and Ibn Hibban. And in another narration of it, similar wording, مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَى خَيْرٍ. The one who points to good, مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَى خَيْرٍ فَلَهُ مِثْلُ عَجْرِ فَعَلِهِ. Then he will have the likeness of the reward of the one who has done it. مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَى خَيْرٍ فَلَهُ مِثْلُ عَجْرِ. The likeness of the reward of فَعَلِهِ, the one who does it. And this is of the same meaning. So here he said, I will give you the example, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, with this book that we are reading, this particular book, not to mention his other books. The reward is reaching him from everyone. كل ما تعلم متعلم واستفاد مستفيد. يعني every time somebody learns, a student is learning from this book or the like of it, from his writings and his books and the books of the scholars, past and present. Every time somebody benefits, the reward is reaching him for it. Huh? This is azim. And the Shaykh mentions another hadith, hadith of Abu Hurairah, reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى هُدَى كَانَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مِثْلُ أُجُورِ مَنْ تَبِعَهُ لَا يَنْقُصُ ذَلِكَ ذَلِكَ. This word is missing from the text, from the hadith in Sahih Muslim. لَا يَنْقُصُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْئًا. مَنْ دَعَى إِلَى هُدَى, whoever calls to the right guidance, كَانَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ, there will be for him a reward, مِثْلُ أُجُورِ مَنْ تَبِعَهُ, like the reward of those who followed him in that which he called them to. And you call people to Islam, and somebody accepts it, the reward that they will get as a Muslim, whatever they do of good, you will get a reward just like the reward of the one who follows you in that which you call to of right guidance. لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا. And nothing will, well, nothing will be reduced of their reward. Meaning that they will get their full reward for what they do of good, and you will get an equal reward, equal to the reward, full reward that they get, without their reward being diminished at all. Not that you're going to be sharing it. Rather, they're going to get their full reward, and you're going to get a reward like their reward fully, because they have followed what you have called them to. Well, you won't get the equal reward, right? Because maybe they're getting, not reward, they're getting sin, right? You won't get that, no. But, and you still get the reward for the da'wah. Not the reward for the good deeds that they didn't do. But you get the reward for the da'wah. And da'wah, yani, is far. It's ibadah, right? So every time you give da'wah, maybe every word that you spoke in calling somebody to Allah, you will get a reward for every word. Kullu kalima, kullu harf. Everything that we do, Allah is rewarding. Allah is generous. Allah is rich. He owns everything in the heavens and earth. It's easy for Him to give plentifully. Don't underestimate, yani, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He gives. And this hadith, the shaykh doesn't mention the end of it, but we just want to say that the other side of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "من دعا إلى الضلالة كان عليه من الإثم مثل آثام من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أوزارهم شيئا." That whoever calls a person to misguidance, and there's plenty of this going on, right? Then there will be a sin upon him, like the sin of those who follow him in that misguidance, without their sin, yani, being diminished in any way whatsoever. And this is a warning to people who call the misguidance. So these are avenues, majalat, yani, of hasanat, and sadaqat, charities, and good deeds, and all types of righteousness. يَحْرِسُ الْعَبْدُ عَلَى الْإِكْثَارِ مِنْهَا. These are all types of righteous deeds that the abd, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should be eager and diligent in doing a lot of them. Istighfar minha. Istighfar minha. Istighfar minha. That we should be diligent in trying to increase in doing them a lot. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says here, فَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحَدِيثَ الصَّحِيحَ الصِّحَى فِي التَّكْفِيرِ بِالصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ وَالْجُمُعَةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَالْحَجِّ وَسَائِرِ الْأَعْمَالِ الَّتِي يُقَالُ فِيهَا مَنْ قَالَ كَذَا عَامِلَ كَذَا غُفِرَ لَهُ. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that this meaning, yani, of expiation of sins by good deeds in general, has been indicated in the Quran and in the authentic hadith. Yani, the expiation of sins by the five prayers, the five daily prayers, the Jumu'ah prayer, the fasting, the Hajj, and the rest of the actions, and all other actions, not just these mentioned, but all other actions. Sa'ir al-a'mal allati yuqalu fiha, that has been said about them, the type of actions that has been said about them. Man qala kadha aw amila kadha ghufira lahu. Yani, whoever said such and such, or whoever did such and such, he will be forgiven. What kind of hadith are these? Whoever said such and such, kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wastaghfirullah, allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and so on. Yani, these are means of multiplication of a person's good deeds and expiation of their sins and raising of their degrees with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example of his saying of the expiation by as-salawat al-khams, the five prayers, and the jumu'ah and fasting, it came in the hadith as-sahih from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's reported by al-imam Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-salawat al-khams wal-jumu'ah ila al-jumu'ati wa ramadhanu ila ramadhana mukaffiratun lima baynahunna majtunibat al-kabair. Put about al-imam Muslim in some of the narrative, he said, "Iza ijtanaba al-kabaira." And the meaning is basically the same, that the five prayers that you perform in a day, yani, this is, yani, means that, yani, look how it's not just obligatory upon us, but these five prayers that we perform every day, and we try to perform them well and on time and with all that is due to them, these are expiation of your sins. So a person, maybe they're not even seeking forgiveness, they're not making tawbah, they're not even following up a good deed with it, but there's so many ways that Allah has made for us. Just performing your five prayers a day, how important is it? This is expiation of your sins. The five prayers that you perform, if you perform them every day. Of course, we perform them every day, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. But there are people who don't perform their five prayers. Naam. The five prayers you perform every day, from one Jumu'ah to the next Jumu'ah, and one Ramadan to the next Ramadan, mukaffirat. These are expiators for whatever happened between them, in between those prayers, or in between those jumu'ahs, or in between fasting Ramadan from one year to the next. These are expiation of what is performed between them, as long as the person avoids the kabair. And here, a lot of hadith came like this, as long as the person avoids the kabair. For this reason, the majority of the scholars say that yani major sins are only removed by tawbah. The majority of the scholars say this, but in fact, the correct opinion from the majority of the scholars is that there are some things that remove sins, major and minor. In spite of this hadith, there are other hadith. And I'm saying that because it's important for us to know that there are some things where the Prophet ﷺ has said that a person, their sins will be removed completely. And it's clear in those hadith that it means all sins, absolutely. And this is the opinion of some of our major scholars, and we'll come to some discussion about this shortly. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, yani in reference to Hajj. Hadith in Bukhari Muslim from Abu Hurairah, من حج ولم يرفث ولم يفسق Raja'a, yani the Shaykh has written here, Raja'a min dhunubihi kaman waladatu ummuhu. But actually in the hadith it came, in some of the narrations, ka yawmi waladatu ummihi, aw kama waladatu ummuhu. Yani the meaning of it is what? Man hajja walam yarfuth. Yani the person who performs hajj, and he doesn't engage, or that he or she doesn't engage in illegal sexual relations with their spouse, or yani while they're in hajj with their wife, or yani ill, yani corrupted speech also. It has both meanings and more than that. Whoever performs hajj and they don't engage in this kind of activity, wala yafsuq, and they don't engage in any kind of sin or disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will return. Raja'a min dhunubihi. Yani in reference to his sins, they will return like the day their mother gave birth to them. Kayawmi waladatu ummuhu. Aw kama waladatu ummuhu. Just as that person was when their mother gave birth to them. And here, yani it's important to mention here, and that's why I just said a moment ago, yani that even though the majority of the scholars have one opinion, but based on this hadith, and there are other hadith like this, this is the clearest of them, that whoever performs hajj, and they don't engage in yani filthy speech, or sexual relations out of its proper place, or engage in sin and disobedience, they will return just as they were on the day their mother gave birth to them. That means that's free of sin completely. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani says that the apparent meaning of this hadith, it means gufran as-sagair wal-kabair. Who said this? Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani said that the apparent meaning of this hadith, it means forgiveness of sins, all of them. Sagair, minor sins, wal-kabair, major sins. And likewise, it is mentioned that who also held the same opinion is Al-Qurtubi, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, Wal-Qadi Al-Iyad, and from the contemporary scholars, Shaykh Al-Albani, Al-Imam Al-Albani, and Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, Rahimahumullah, Jami'an. All of them held this opinion, that this hadith means, and Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah, gave a long discussion about this, that in spite of what the other scholars said, the text of this hadith is outside of that. The text of this hadith, that's general, yani that these things expiate sins, as long as you avoid the major sins, and this is specific. And it's crystal clear, this is the view of who? Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, Al-Imam Qadi Al-Iyad, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Albani. Yani, a lot of scholars, past and present, hold this view, and I'm saying that because most of the time we read that major sins have to be, yani only can only be removed by tawbah, and we're saying that that's general, and this is specific, and Allah knows best. And the Shaykh, he says, there are many hadith that mention the like of this, whoever does such and such, they will be forgiven their sins. And the likeness of this also, he mentioned hadith in Bukhari, Muslim and others, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fasts Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, yani believing in Allah and having expectation and anticipation of Allah's reward, they will be forgiven their sins that preceded. And likewise, whoever yani stood in the night in Laylatul Qadr, or whoever fasted the day of Arafah, or fasting the day of Ashura, and so on, yani hadith like these. And these hadith are many, and that is what is intended, yani what is pointed to by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah when he said, yani, من قال كذا أو عمل كذا غفر له أو غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. He means these kind of hadith. Whoever said such and such, or whoever did such and such, he will be forgiven, or his previous sins will be forgiven. And these hadith are many. For whoever would receive them, search for them, yani in the books of Sunan, especially those books that have been yani compiled in reference to Fadail al-Amal, especially in those books that have been compiled in reference to virtuous deeds. He's saying that some of the scholars, they have compiled books that are specially in this topic of yani virtuous deeds. So the abd fi'lan yahtaj ila an yamur ala hadhihi al-kutub hatta ya'rif al-a'mal as-salihah wa fadailaha. Yani so that the servant, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in need to pass over these books, to look through these books, so that he will come to know these righteous deeds and their virtues and excellence, so that his himma, his ambitiousness will be activated, and his azima, his resolve to do good will be raised up, so that he will increase from in the doing of these actions. Yani reading these things, yani what activates your ambition and it elevates your resolve to do good, because the abd is in need of two things: knowledge, which will guide him, yani to know about these things, and himma, yani aliya, high ambition, that will give him the energy to execute them. So the abd is in need of reading these books. And in the book of Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, Riyad al-Salihin, famous book that we are all familiar with, there are a large number of the hadith yani under this subject, yani of fadal al-a'mal, yani the deeds that expiate for one's sins. And there are also yani collections that specialize, yani single out this particular topic of bringing, yarhamukallah, those type of deeds. Na'am. And this is the end of what was left from last week, and the time is short. But anyway, the next paragraph that the Shaykh mentions, yani we're going to enter into it because it's connected directly to the previous topic, and that is called Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, وَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْإِنَايَ بِهَذَا مِنْ أَشَدُّ مَا لِلْإِنسَانِ الْحَاجَ إِلَيْهِ. Yani giving care, giving the utmost care and attention to this matter. And the Shaykh explains what he means by this matter. Yani meaning, yani tawbah and istighfar and following up evil deeds with good deeds. Giving care to this matter is from the most important needs of the human being. From the most important needs of the human being. For indeed, فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ حِينَ يَبْلُغُ. Because the human being, from the time they reach the age of responsibility, خُصُوصًا فِي هَذِي الْأَزْمِنَةِ, yani especially in these times, yani Shaykh al-Islam is talking about what times is that? Centuries ago, right? What about in these times that we are living in? And whatever he was talking about is nothing in comparison to the time that we are living in terms of filth and corruption and kufr and deviation. Nothing compared to what we are living in. He said, especially in these times, and he means those times, which was much less than these times, and the like of them, min azmina fatarat allati tushbihu al-jahiliyyah min ba'du al-wujuh. Yani those time periods, the fatarat, yani meaning the time periods. Yani al-fatra mentioned in the Quran, the time in which what? Yani that the Prophet ﷺ came ala fatra. Yani what? A time when there was a discontinuation of the Prophet. So the message was gone and the purity of the message was gone and people were in deviation and darkness and corruption. Especially in that kind of time, which is similar to the time of Jahiliyyah. Yani when there was no revelation. Now Shaykh al-Islam is talking about the revelation came. The Quran and Sunnah is with us, right? But there are time periods in which it's like, similar to the time of Jahiliyyah, when the people had no guidance. That's like it is today. It's like there's no guidance. I'm not talking about the kafirs. We're talking about the Muslims. It's as though there's no guidance. Like we're in darkness. Like we don't have a Quran or Sunnah. Because the people are practicing some other religion. And they're calling it Islam. It has nothing to do with the Sunnah. And worse than that, I won't say worse than that, but equally severe and dangerous, that we call ourselves the Ahl Sunnah, yani the people of Sunnah, and then we don't act upon the Sunnah. And we say we are the people of Sunnah, but we act like people of Jahiliyyah. Corruption, filth, wrongdoing, oppressiveness, transgression against other people. And even though we say we are the Ahl Sunnah, those people don't know, and we do know, but we act like we don't know. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah talks about this also. So the person, insan, min hina yablug, from the time that he reaches the age of responsibility, especially in these time periods and the likeness of them that are similar to the time periods of Jahiliyyah in different ways. They are similar. So the human being, فإن الإنسان الذي ينشأ بين أهل علم ودين قد يتلطخ بأمور الجاهلية بعدة الأشياء فكيف بغير هذا. So the human being who is raised amongst people of knowledge, أهل علم, people who have knowledge of the deen, or people أهل الدين, يعني people who have some religious practice, they are practicing some of the deen, they might be polluted or corrupted or affected by some of the affairs of jahiliyyah through a number of ways. So what about the one other than this? Yani the one who is raised in a society where there are no ahlul ilm and no ahlul deen. Yani the person who is raised in a society where there's ahlul ilm and ahlul deen in the best of the lands today, they will be affected by some of the pollution of jahiliyyah. So what about the person who's in a place where there's no ahlul ilm and there's no religious people? How much more will they be affected? This is what the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is talking about. So this person is in need of what? يعني العناية بهذا من أشد ما للإنسان الحاجة إليه. يعني the عناية with what? التوبة والاستغفار and following up a good deed with a good deed. And the things that expiate for a person's sins, because the person more likely to fall into sin. He said that وفي الصحيحين عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه, he said, يعني in the two books of Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith of Abu Sa'id, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَا مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ حَذْوَ الْكُذَّةِ بِالْكُذَّةِ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُهْرَ ضَبٍ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَ قَالَ فَمَنْ. This hadith have been narrated in Bukhari and in Muslim in different books with different wordings, with a lot of different wordings. And this is the general meaning of it. And there are some other wordings that we might be a little bit more familiar with, but it has the same meaning, that the Prophet ﷺ said to the Muslims, you will definitely follow those who came before you. Yani in this narration he mentions what? In the same way, exactly precisely in the same way that the feathers of an arrow are equal, no difference between them. It has to be perfect in order for it to go right, right? In that same way, in other narrations he said, yani shibran bi shibran, yani by a handspan by handspan, an arm span, or yani whatever like this, in every way, yani you will follow them. Hatta walau dakhalu juhra dabbin, yani even if those people who you're following from the nations before you, and in the end of the hadith they said, do you mean the Christians and the Jews? He said, who else? He's talking about Christians and Jews. In other narrations he said, Faris wa Rum, and the Romans and the Persians and the Romans, Persians and the Romans, meaning the Kafir nations in general. You will follow them step by step, inch by inch. Yani in every detail, even if they enter into the hole of a lizard, you will follow them into it. They said, oh, Messenger of Allah, you mean the Christians and the Jews? He said, who else? وَهَذَا الْخَبْرُ تَصْدِيقُهُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَاسْتَمْتَعَتُمْ بِخَلَاقِكُمْ كَمَا اسْتَمْتَعَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ بِخَلَاقِهِمْ وَخُدْتُمْ كَالَّذِي خَادُوا. يعني the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying that this hadith, that you will follow those people step by step in every way, yani no matter, even if they go into the hole of a lizard, he said this one is confirmed by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yani you have enjoyed your portion for a while, yani your portion in this world, the dunya, right, as those before you enjoyed their portion for a while, and you indulged in play and in pastime, or indulged in idle talk, or in speaking ill against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as some of the scholars of tafsir said in reference to this ayah, yani as they did, yani just as you enjoyed your portion of the world. And Ibn Abbas said here the meaning of khalaqikum or khalaqihim means your portion of the deen. But in any case, whatever tafsir we want to look at, the meaning is what? That you have enjoyed your portion just as those people who came before you enjoyed their portion, and you engaged in this idle talk or in attacking the Prophet ﷺ just as the people before you did, meaning that you will follow them. Just you will be just like the people before you were. And this, yani, has many shawahid, yani, in the siha and the hisan, yani, in the hadith that are sahih and hasan, yani, that support this meaning, that the Prophet ﷺ predicted that we, the Muslims, yani, some of the Muslims, will follow the people who came before us, yani, the people of deviation and corruption, and kufr, the Christians and Jews, the Persians and Romans. And then he says, وَهَذَا الْأَمْرَ قَدْ يَسْرِي فِي الْمُنْتَسِبِينَ إِلَى الدِّينِ مِنَ الْخَاسَةِ كما قال غير واحد من السلف منهم ابن عيينة رحمه الله فإن كثير من الأحوال اليهود قد ابتلي به بعض المنتسبين إلى العلم and likewise أحوال النصارى قد ابتلي بها بعض المنتسبين إلى الدين كما يبصر ذلك من فهم الدين الإسلام الذي بعث الله به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم نزله على أحوال الناس. يعني شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية is saying that this affair, this matter that he's talking about, the people would follow the ways of the disbelieving nations, this will affect and penetrate even those people who ascribe themselves to being practices of the deen. من الخاصة, meaning the elite of the people, not just the common folk, but the elite of the people who say that they are religious, observing deen, just as more than one of the Salaf, yani from the early generation of Muslims, said, like Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, for indeed many of the conditions, circumstances of the Yahud, that some of those people who attribute themselves to be people of knowledge, المنتسبين على العلم, some of them have been afflicted or tested or trial with acting the same way as the Yahud acted. Meaning they had knowledge but they didn't what? Act upon it. And many of the people would be afflicted, tested with the conditions, circumstances, ways of the Nasara, those who ascribe themselves to Muntasibina ila Deen, and who claim that they are worshippers, that they are people who do a lot of worship. Yani like the Sufiya. Yani do a lot of worship, but yani the Christians, they worshiping, but with no knowledge. Worshiping the way they just made up themselves. And that's what some of the people in Islam, yani they would have deviated and they would be doing a lot of worship, but it would be useless because it would be without knowledge. And this is something that is comprehended by the one who understands the deen of Islam, with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has missioned the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they compare it to the condition of the people. Whoever looks, whoever understands this Islam, and then looks at the people around us, then we will see that this is a fact, that the Muslims in this time, they are following the people of the earlier, yani of the other religions, of the earlier generations, the earlier nations. Even some of the elite, yani the people who say they're really religious, and the people who say they really have knowledge, also they have been afflicted, yani by either following the ways of the Christians or the Jews, yani in that they have knowledge and don't act upon it, or they act without knowledge. Whoever looks at the people and compares them to, yani, compares them to the true Islam that has been revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will become clear that yani this is a fact. The Shaykh, in his explanation of these statements of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, يَقُولُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, know that giving care to this matter is of the most important needs of the human being. Al-inaya bihadha. What is meant by al-inaya bihadha? He said, A al-umur thalatha. These three affairs. That is, at-tawbah and istighfar, and repentance and seeking forgiveness, and doing righteous deeds which expiate for sins. A person is in need. This is of the most important needs of a human being, to give care to this matter. And he said, I said to you before that these allati bihadha dunya, yani those things that expiate in this world are four, he said. They are four. We have mentioned three up until now. The fourth one, he said, that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it later on. And we will come to it, where he said, وَمِمَّا يُزِيلُ مُوجَبْ الذُّنُوبُ الْمُصَائِبُ الْمُكَفَّرَ هَذَا الرَّابِيَ. Yani he said, the fourth one of the things in this world that expiate sins, of after the three that we have discussed, the fourth of them, and he said, we will come to the mention of this later on, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that fourth one separate from these three for a reason. He said, the fourth of them is what? That from those things that remove the effects, the mujab of dhunub, that which is necessitated by committing sins, the consequences, that which removes it is al-musaib al-mukaffara. Yani calamities that befall a person as a means of expiation for his sins. This is the fourth of the things in this world that expiate sins. However, why did Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah not mention it here with these other three? He said to the audience, answer me. Why is it that he didn't mention with the other three? لِأَنَّهُ يَقُولُ, because he says here, know that giving care to this matter, yani these three things that are mentioned aside from the calamities that befall a person, he said, this is from the most important needs of a human being, to give care to this. As far as the calamities that expiate for sins, a person, you are not able to, yani, give care to this. Yani, you are not able to do it. You are not able to bring calamities on yourself, yani, so that they will expiate your sins. You are able to seek forgiveness. You are able to make tawbah. You are able to do good. You are not able to bring calamities on yourself, so that they will expiate your sins. So he says, Therefore these three matters are from those things that the abd is requested and required to do these things. Yani repentance and seeking forgiveness and righteous deeds. As far as calamities, this is something that a person yani is tested or tried with, and it's not something that he can request. It's not permissible for a person to request calamities to befall them or to pull calamities on their self or sickness or like of this, saying that I'm doing this in order to remove my sins. And the Shaykh says, I will repeat here a second time, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says that sins, the consequences of sins are removed by many things, 1, 2, and 3, meaning tawbah, istighfar, and al-hasanat, yani righteous deeds that expiate for sins. The fourth of them he mentioned later on, and he didn't mention it with these three. He didn't say here the fourth one, yani along with those three, and that's for a reason that he intended, rahimahullah, to delay it, and that is to call to our attention the matter that he is mentioning here. Yani the matter that he's mentioning here, what? Is that from the most important needs of the human being is to give attention to these three things, and that fourth one, it wouldn't be appropriate for it to be mentioned here. Yani these three things that he wants us to give care to, and he's pointing to the three things that have been mentioned, yani up until now, tawbah, istighfar, and righteous deeds. And these are the things that a person has a great need, a very, very great, severe, yani need to give care to. He goes to the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, for indeed a person, from the time they reach puberty, yani responsibility. Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, we are reading this speech of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, and every person has to look back into his history and his life from the time that he was raised up, yani from the time he reached puberty, from his childhood, from his early days, yani even if he has reached 60 years or 70 years or 80 years, he has to look back from the time when he reached the age of responsibility, and he has to look back on his history. He has to look back on his history to see what condition yani did he live in. A person has to go back and look and see, what do I have to do? What condition yani was I in the past? Maybe a person who's 40 or 50 or 60 will look back and remember, if they think about it, that they probably have forgotten about and they don't want to think about what they were doing when they were young. Some people, they are young now and they're doing good deeds. But most people, they say, when I get old, I'll get righteous. When I get old, I'll go to Hajj. When I get old, I'll do this, that, and the other. And it's not too late. But don't wait until you get old. If you're young, if you're already old, then this is applicable to you. If you're not old yet, then just get busy now. He said, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, when the person reaches the age of responsibility, especially in these times or the likeness of it. Yani he's talking about his time, but now we're looking at our time, 700 years later. He's saying, especially in these times and the like of it, the azminat al-fatarat, yani those times which resemble the times of Jahiliyyah in many ways. And if we look at it, we can see there are many resemblances to the life of the people today and the times of Jahiliyyah. For indeed the human being, if he is raised amongst people who have knowledge, or people who have some yani condition of yani observing the deen, he may still be polluted and corrupted and affected by some of the affairs of Jahiliyyah. So what about the person who is not raised amongst people of knowledge and people that observe the deen? Yani he means that a person may be raised in a village or in a city or in a place where there is no ulama amongst them, and there are no people who give nasiha, but rather al-jahlu fiha kathir, yani ignorance is plentiful, and misguidance, dalal, is plentiful, and inhiraf, deviation, is plentiful, and the mistakes are many. A person may be living in that kind of situation. What will be his condition? What will be his affair? Yani, indeed, he will be polluted and corrupted and affected with many of these things. But the meaning of this, yani what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is intending by this, that definitely people are going to be polluted and corrupted with the affairs of Jahiliyyah. But especially those who are amongst a society where there's no knowledge, there are no knowledgeable people, there are no good people who are worshippers. Especially those people, but even the people who are in a better situation, he's saying here what? That even if you were corrupted or polluted with the affairs of Jahiliyyah, the matter is not finished with this. Yani a person shouldn't give up. Ma dama ar-ruh al-jasad, as long as the soul is still in the body, then there's still a chance. Even if there's only a few days left in your life, if Allah has written for you a tawbah, if Allah has written for you a tawbah, then know that tawbah removes whatever was before it. Even if a person was 60 years, even if they were 70 years, and here he mentions the saying, ahsin fi ma baqiya يغفر لك ما قد مضى. أحسن فيما بقي. يعني do good in that which remains of your life, even if there are only a few days left. And you will be forgiven ما قد مضى, what has passed. This is a saying, a great, precious, priceless saying of Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. And the story of it is a lengthy story, but the point is that a man had reached 60 and he had wasted most of his life in sin and corruption and wrongdoing. And then, yani, when Al-Fudayl, rahimahullah, yani, brought to his attention the seriousness of the matter and the danger, and that you are near the end of your life at 60. The Prophet ﷺ said, what? Yani, umru ummati bayna 60 wa 70. The age of my ummah is between 60 and 70. The man said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. And when he realized at 60, class, I'm about out of here now. Look what happened in my life. He looked back at his life, he said, I'm in trouble. He said, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Al-Fudayl asked him, do you know what the meaning of this saying is? And he didn't know the meaning of it, and he explained it to him. And then, and he told him that if a person knows that they are an abd, inna lillahi, and that they are going to return to Allah wa ilayhi raji'un, then they should know that they are going to, be brought before Allah. Mawquf bayna yadayillah. And if they know they're going to be brought before Allah, then know that they're going to be mas'ool, questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they know they're going to be questioned, then they have to do what? Prepare an answer for the question. And what is the answer? It is our deeds. It is our deeds. The man said, okay, so I'm 60 now, I did all that. What am I going to prepare now? And that's when he said to him, what? Ahsan fima baqiya. Do good in what remains, whatever it is. Yughfar laka ma qad madha. And you will be forgiven what has passed. Yani, a person lived 50, 60, 70 years and they did corruption and wrongdoing their whole life. But guess what? If they repented and do good in what remains, they will be forgiven what passed. Allah is azim. I don't know. Yani, to me, it's azim. Allahu musta'an. Naam. And time is close. Yani, so. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Here, the Shaykh, he says, some of the people indeed, just like what Shaykh Al-Islam Taymiyyah pointed to here, they will live in environments, ajwa, wa fi awsat, inhiraf, wa khumur, wa muskirat, wa fasad, wa inhiraf ila akhirihi. Some people, fi'lan, they're going to be in this environment, in the midst of deviation and alcohol and intoxicants and corruption and deviation to the end of it, like we are in the midst of it in America today. And that person would think that the like of me who have been subjected to this and have engaged in what we have engaged in, انتهى أمره ولا مجال أبدا. يعني their fair is finished and there's no way for them to escape from what they have fallen into. But he says, as long as the soul is still present, then the door of Tawbah is open in front of you. As long as you didn't reach the point where the soul is taken from the throat, then Tawbah, there's still an opportunity, is open as long as the person didn't reach the point where the soul is coming from their throat. وعين الموت, and they actually see death at that point, then Tawbah is not accepted. Or at the point when the sun rises from the place of, from Maghribiha, from the place of his setting, rise from the west, then Tawbah is not accepted in these two cases, when the person is about to die individually, or when the world is going to end, Yawm al-Qiyamah, then Tawbah is not accepted at that moment. But al-Baqi majal maftu. For everybody else, the door is open. If they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever repents, then Allah will accept their repentance. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, especially in these times and the like of them, the times, periods in which they resemble the Jahiliyyah from some angles, meaning that knowledge is not widespread, religiosity, the good things are not widespread, but rather the opposite, corruption and sin and falsehood and deviation and kufr and shirk is widespread. Especially the people that are living in those kind of times that are like Jahiliyyah, if a person was raised amongst the people of knowledge and deen, during those periods when corruption and kufr and shirk and deviation is widespread, even those people who are raised in the amongst the good people, they will still be affected and polluted and corrupted by some of the affairs of Jahiliyyah. So what about the person who is in the bad environment, meaning the person who is in a society where there's no knowledge and no deen? And then he mentions the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that we read, from the Prophet ﷺ, from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that indeed you will follow the nations before you to the extent that even, to such an extent, that even if they went into the hole of a lizard, you will follow them into it. And the Shaykh here, he mentions the significance of the Prophet ﷺ said that even if they went into the hole of a lizard. What is the significance of this? He said that the hole of the lizard is distinguished from the holes of other reptiles in that is twisted and crooked. like zigzag. The meaning of this is what? Yani that if you follow them into the hole of a lizard, meaning you have to go all kind of crooked ways, huh? Perverted path. So the meaning is that even if they were to do something crooked, completely crooked, twisted, yani perverse, to the worst way you can imagine, you'll find some Muslims who will imitate them in doing so. And here the Shaykh says, look at the condition of many of the people who have been tested with weak iman, how they follow the disbelievers in the way they cut their hair, how they follow the disbelievers in the way that they dress, how they follow the disbelievers in painting their faces with colors such that you would not think that they are human beings. Yani they change their self in such an evil way. لَا لِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا لِأَنَّهُ رَأَى بَعْدُ الْكُفَّى فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. For no reason except that they saw the kafirs doing it. So they see that, they feel that they have to imitate the kuffar and follow them in it, in the ways they cut their hair. Yani some of them is to go to such an extent that the person who's still on natural disposition, if they saw this, it would cause them to throw up, to vomit. This is how filthy and ugly it is. But you'll find some of the Muslims following them in it, imitating them in these filthy, evil ways that will cause a person to spit up. That the person who has al-uqul al-salima wal-fitra al-mustaqima, yani this person will reject it outright. Not to mention the person who has more than just yani al-uqul al-salima, yani they mean their mind is intact, a sound mind, and their nature is intact, it's upright. This person will reject it. What about the person who has correct deen? How much more would they reject this kind of behavior, following these people in their dress, in their speech, yani in their holidays, in their greetings, in their entertainment, even, I'm saying this, even in what they think is right and wrong. Yani they have begun to dictate to us what is right and wrong. Yani you are sick. It's something wrong with you if you see homosexuality as being filthy. You are wrong. And some of the Muslims actually begin to think like them. That these people, they are advanced, modern cultured people. Some of the Muslims actually begin to take what they think is right and wrong. No matter how deviant they go and how far they go, we'll find some of the Muslims following them. The Shaykh, he mentions the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that confirms this, that you will definitely follow them exactly, even into the hole of a lizard. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah here brings to our attention, حَتَّى وَلَوْ حَصَلَ مِنْ بَعْدُ الشَّبَابِ. And here there's a mistake in the text. It says, يعني الشبهة. It should be a shubha. It should be Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah huna yunabbihu hatta law hasala min ba'd al-shabab. Yani ba'd al-nashi'a fil fatra min fatarat hayatihi talattakh bihadihi al-ashya. Laysa ma'ana dhalika anna al-bab ughlaq wa intaha bab al-tawba maftu yuqsad hadhi. Yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah intends by this, yani this paragraph or this discussion that we're having here now, is to bring to our attention that if some of the youth, yani when they're growing up, during those periods of time in their life, if they're corrupted or polluted by some of the ways of jahiliyyah, this doesn't mean that the bab is closed on them and the affair is finished. Rather, the bab, yani the way of tawbah, is open. This is what he intends by this. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions this hadith, intending to bring to our attention this meaning, that we will find people making mistakes, we will find people yani imitating the disbelievers, we'll find people doing such and such and so and so. However, the door of tawbah is open. فَبَادِرْ وَسَارِعْ إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ. So hasten without delay to repent, to doing hasanat. أَكْفِرْ مِنْهَا. Do plenty of it, and it is istighfar, and do plenty of it. يعني قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. They said, يا رسول الله, do you mean the Christians and Jews? He said, who else? And this, يعني Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says this hadith is confirmed by the ayat of the Quran. يعني the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is confirmed by this ayat of the Quran, that you will enjoy, yani you see, so you have enjoyed your portion yani of the dunya or of the deen for a while, just as those before you did, and you have indulged in yani sport and play and pastime or yani false idle speech, just as those before you did. And this is confirmed in the authentic and hasan hadith, which yani are many that point to this meaning, that the Muslims would follow these people in every way. So this pollution, and this is near the end of what we're going to read tonight, this pollution is not just for the fasaqa, yani the people who engage in sin and corruption, yani those who are yani tried and tested with yani filth and immorality. This is not that these are not the only people that would be polluted by the ways of Jahiliyyah, but rather Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said this would even reach some of the people who ascribe to themselves being religious, yani the elite from amongst them, as more than one of the Salaf, like Ibn Uyayna, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, said that there are many of the conditions, yani that the people, the conditions of the Jews, that those who consider themselves to be people of knowledge have been afflicted with, and many of the conditions of the Christians, those who ascribe themselves to being religious, have been afflicted with. So you will find, for example, people from amongst them who have knowledge, but they do not act upon it. And you will find people from amongst them who are engaging in a lot of ibadat, but you will see that they will be resembling the Christians. And here the transcript says fi taqatihim, but it should say fi taraiqihim, yani in their ways, in their actions. So for this reason, this athar, yani which has been narrated, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is similar. There has been narrated similar to this meaning that whoever man fasada min ulama'ina fafihi shabah min al yahud, yani the whoever been corrupted from amongst our scholars from the Muslim ummah, then they have resemblance to the Jews. وَمَنْ فَسَدَ مِنْ عُبَّادِنَا فَفِيهِ شَبَهٌ مِنَ النَّصَارَى, and who have been corrupted from our people who are engaged in a lot of worship, then we find in them a resemblance to the Christians. And this is clear, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, to anyone who understands the deen of Allah that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent with, and then they compare it, yani to the condition of the people, you will see it, yani this meaning that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is referring to here is clear. And this is not something that will be clear to everyone, but it will become only clear to the person who has knowledge of the deen of Islam, and if the deen is clear to them, then this person, when they look at the condition of the people, they will see that this has actually happened. And I think it's clear to most of us that the Muslims have fallen into this following and imitating the kuffar and every type of corruption and filth and immorality that exists in the earth. You will find this meaning present, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah has pointed, and then he goes on, yani Shaykh al-Islam goes on, rahimahullah, to clarify other matters, yani that which completes this discussion. And inshallah, in the next class, we will continue with what he said concerning this. And the Shaykh closes with dua, nas'alullah al-kareem, rabbal ash al-azim, bi asma'ihi al-husna wa sifatihi al-ulya. أن ينفعنا بهذه الوصية. يعني we ask Allah to benefit us by this وصية. وأن يجعلنا ممن يكون هذا العلم حجة لهم لا عليهم. And that Allah make us of those that this knowledge will be a proof for us. يعني by acting upon it, not against us. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Oh Allah, يعني teach us that which will benefit us and benefit us through that which you have taught us and increased us in knowledge. Allahumma aslih lana deenana alladhi huwa ismatu amrina wa aslih lana dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashuna. Yani, O Allah, rectify our deen, which is the means of protection of the whole of our affair, and rectify for us our dunya, our worldly affairs, which contain our life and livelihood. To the end of the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ameen, Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Pardon us for going over time a little bit. And this book is more than we imagined it to be. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.